All right, we come today to 1 Kings chapter 17, and we begin our study in verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Kings 17, verse 1, it says, Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word. Israel has the worst, the most evil leader around in King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. They have 850 false prophets of the ungodly so-called god Baal. As a result, God sends Elijah, his prophet, to Ahab. No more rain, says God, unless my prophet says, let it rain. Elijah is a man of God. Elijah can be trusted to do the right thing, whatever God wants. Elijah will know when it is God's will for it to rain. But right now, this drought is a punishment against the king and the entire nation for their terrible idolatry. Verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. Telling a wicked king like Ahab that it is not going to rain until I say so, and implying I'm not going to say so, that is a dangerous thing to do. And so God tells Elijah, get out of there. Go in hiding. Nothing wrong with protecting yourself, you know, using common sense to do that, as long as it doesn't go against God's word. And God is the one telling him to go and hide. So he does, or he will, and verse 4 it says, You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. God will provide water and food for Elijah during this famine and during this drought. This really will be as big a miracle as the manna that fell in the desert every day for 40 years. Think about it. Ravens are not known for sharing their food. I mean, they are carnivorous birds. But God will tell them to bring food to Elijah, and they will. And they won't eat it themselves. They'll give it to him. And Elijah will certainly know that it has to be God at work, because it's just not natural. Verse 5. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. He actually had a pretty nice divinity. God provided everything Elijah needed, because Elijah obeyed God. And God did it in a very unlikely way. Instead of eating the meat, the ravens delivered it to Elijah twice a day, every day. God may not meet our needs in a conventional way, but if we dedicate ourselves to Him, then He will do it somehow. Maybe in a conventional way, maybe in an unconventional way, a roundabout way, but he will. 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. God had provided water for Elijah using the brook, but now, because of the drought and the extended drought, now even that brook is dry. And I suppose Elijah could panic. He could jump ship on God. He could jump ahead of God. He could call down rain. because God gave him that power to do so. But that's not God's will. And so he's not going to do that. And the only thing left to do then is to remain obedient and trust God to provide water another way. Verse 8. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food.'" A widow in the midst of a drought would have nothing for herself, chances are, let alone something to share with a stranger. But God commanded this widow to share with Elijah. The source of provisions that God uses for his people can be very varied. And as I said earlier, unconventional. But he always finds some way of providing for his people. And this source of provisions is at least as unlikely as the raven. Verse 10. "So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, 'Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink?'" This widow was less than poor. So it took faith to ask her for help. An able-bodied man asking a very poor widow for a handout looks very bad. So it's not going to happen unless God tells him to do it, and unless he is willing to obey no matter how it looks. But Elijah did, because he was obeying God. God expects us to obey no matter how humbling it may be. Verse 11. "As she was going to get it, he called, 'And bring me, please, a piece of bread.'" He's asking for water and food from a poor widow in the middle of a terrible drought and famine. If she agrees, then he knows that she is the widow God told him about. But he had to ask. He didn't know. She wasn't wearing a sign saying, "I'm the widow." Sometimes we do not know if something is going to be blessed by God until we trust him enough to try it. 12. "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Well, she is very discouraged. That's for sure. Her and her son have enough for one more meal. And they're going to eat it. That's the plan. And then they're going to starve to death. She's very matter-of-fact about this. Thing is, she's still a God-fearing woman. So notice in verse 13. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and for your son." She had very little, but God through the prophet is asking her to trust the Lord and give an offering. God sent Elijah to her so he could provide for him, but also so that he could provide for the widow and her son. And it is by her willingness to sacrifice the little that she had and give when she had needs, it was in that that God will provide for her and for him. So you see, everything hinges right now on this widow's faith. Verse 14. "For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land.'" If she puts God first, then every time she goes to her cupboard, she will find food enough for her, her son, and for Elijah. And God will meet our needs if we put him first. 15. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. God cannot lie. He cannot be unfaithful. No matter what He may ask us to do, if we do it, He will bless. She obeyed because she believed, and that opened up the door for God to bless her. Verse 16. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. It was like the manna that God sent every morning. It was the same thing. It was like the five loaves and the two fish that Jesus fed thousands with. It is the one thing that only God can do. God can create something out of nothing. And He can use nothing to supply all the needs of His people. And if need be, that is what He will do. If that's the only way He can do it, or if that's the way He chooses to do it, He can do it and He will do it. He is not limited. Is the Lord's arm shortened that it cannot save? The Bible says. 17. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. And so this widow's son died. After being miraculously saved during the famine, he now gets sick and he dies. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Why would God do a miracle to save his life and then allow him to die? Why? Well, the Bible says, as sparks fly upward, so man is born unto trouble. Verse 18. She said to Elijah, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Her son died, and she thinks it happened as punishment for some past sin in her life. Boy, that's how that often works. And it works that way, you know, especially with God-fearing people who are very sensitive to the Lord. Sometimes they are too sensitive. And something bad happens and they think, it's my fault. It's because of some past sin in my life. 19, give me your son, Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on the bed. Must have been a little boy that they were able to carry him upstairs to the guest room. Verse 20. Then he cried out to the Lord, O Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, O Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him. When you've been fed meat, by a raven, as God said it would happen. When you've been cared for by a poor widow, as God said that would happen. You can believe God for anything. There's even a chance that God might raise this boy from the dead. The more we obey God, the stronger our faith in God becomes. Because the closer we draw to Him, and the more you know God, the more your faith will be strengthened. Verse 22. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. When God created Adam, He created a lifeless body. It was no different than this boy's life, or this boy's body when, after his soul left. It's the same thing. Then God put a soul in Adam, and that body came alive. That's exactly what He did with this little boy. God is the one who makes our soul. God is the one who can control our soul. And God is the one who puts it in our body. Verse 23. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, Look, your son is alive. Life belongs to God. He gave life to this little boy when he was conceived. He preserved his life through hard times that would have otherwise killed him. And here he gives life back to this boy and his mother. See, God is in control of life. 24. Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." This woman had fed the prophet because that was God's word to her. She evidently had doubts, but she obeyed the word of God anyway, and she fed him. And now with this miracle, all doubts are gone. And now you see that that might be one reason why God allowed her son to die. Why he allowed her to go through this very hard time, so that her faith could be strengthened. Faith in God, faith in God's prophet Elijah. We should not let doubts about God's word keep us from obeying God's word. Obeying God, even when we have doubts, is very honoring to God, and He will bless us for it, because He knows how difficult it is. Maybe it shouldn't be difficult, but sometimes it is. Next time, chapter 18. Until then, so long, everyone.